నిగూఢజత్రుం ప్రతుతుంగవక్షసం ఆవర్తనాభిం వలివల్గుదరం చ. దిగంబరం వక్త్ర వికీర్ణకేశం ప్రలంబ బాహుం స్వమరోత్తమాభం. నిగూఢజత్రుం ప్రతుతుంగవక్షసం వావర్తనాభిం వలివల్గుదరం చ. దిగంబరం వక్త్ర వికీర్ణకేశం ప్రలంబ బాహుం స్వమరోత్తమాభం. నిగూఢజత్రుం ప్రతుతుంగవక్షసం ఆవర్తనాభిం వలివల్గుదరం చ. దిగంబరం వక్త్ర వికీర్ణకేశం ప్రలంబ బాహుం స్వమరోత్తమాభం. మతజీస్, నిగూఢ కవర్డ్, జత్రుం కాలర్ బోన్, ప్రథు బ్రాడ్, తుంగ స్వోలన్, వక్షసం చెస్ట్, ఆవర్త వరల్డ్, నాభిం నేవల్, వలివల్గు స్ట్రైప్డ్, ఉదరం అబ్డోమెన్ చ ఆల్సో, దిక్ అంబరం డ్రెస్డ్ బై ఆల్ డైరెక్షన్స్, వక్త్ర curled, vikirna scattered, kesham hair, pralamba elongated, bahum hands, su amara uttama the best among the gods, krishna abham hue. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: his collarbone was fleshy, his chest broad and thick, his navel deep, and his abdomen beautifully striped. His arms were long, and curly hair was strewn over his beautiful face. He was naked, and the hue of his body reflected that of Lord Krishna. Purport: his bodily features indicate him to be different from common men. All the signs described in connection with the bodily features of Sukadeva Goswami are uncommon symptoms typical of great personalities according to physiognomical calculations. His bodily hue resembled that of Lord Krishna, who is the supreme among the gods, demigods, and all living beings. Om Ajnana Dimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Padamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurau Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnamamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhamitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamenidhi Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Translation once again. His collarbone was fleshy, his chest broad and thick, his navel deep, and his abdomen beautifully striped. His arms were long, and curly hair was strewn over his beautiful face. He was naked, and the hue of his body reflected that of Lord Krishna. So this is the description of Sukadeva Goswami, who is entering the place where Maharaj Parikshit has come after he has heard that he has been cursed by a Brahmana boy to be bitten by a snake bird within 7 days. So he renounces his kingdom and comes to the bank of the Ganges, and hearing that the king had come there, all the sages also assembled there. And Maharaj Parikshit is wanting to know what he should do now so that he can attain perfection within the 7-day time that is available to him. And like, you know, Radhika Vallabhprabhu very nicely described yesterday, there was a lot of discussion amongst the sages of how to go about it, what is the right course of action that the king should take. So, amongst this confusion, that's when Shukdev Goswami enters the scene, who will eventually be the guru who will instruct Parikshit Maharaj in the science of devotional service, and he will speak the Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. So here in the description of Shukdev Goswami is given. So I thought, because the day after tomorrow is Guru Purnima, and especially for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it's not just Guru Purnima, it is also the Disciplines Day of Sanatan Goswami. So I thought I will discuss a little bit about Sanatan Goswami today. So Sanatan Goswami is one amongst the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan. And we are all followers of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the highest, one of the topmost literatures for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, right at the onset, you know, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes this verse, Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktan Isham Isha Avatarakan Tat Prakasham Shatat Shakti Krishna Chaitanya Sanyakam. So he is offering his obeisances to Vande Gurun, first of all his spiritual masters. Then Isha Bhaktan, all the devotees of the Lord. And then Isham Isha Avatarakan, all the incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Tat Prakashamsha, the expansions of the Lord, the plenary portions of the Lord. Tat Shakti, the energies of the Lord. Krishna Chaitanya Sanyakam. And then he offers his obeisances to Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he first offers his obeisances to his gurus. And then there are different kinds of gurus. So, first of all, he offers his obeisances to the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan. Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatana, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva Gopal Bhatta, Das Raghunath. And then he writes this verse. Echhai Guru Shiksha Guru Ye Amar Tasabara Pada Padme Koti Namaskar. So he's telling that all these 6 Goswamis are my Shiksha Gurus. And I first of all offer my Koti Namaskar, crores of obeisances to their lotus feet. And Prabhupada, in the purport, he says very beautifully, by accepting the 6 Goswamis as his instructing spiritual masters, the author specifically makes it clear that one should not be recognized as a Gaudiya Vaishnava if he is not obedient to them. So, obedience and taking shelter of the 6 Goswamis is integral to Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. And later on, in another purport, again, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes something similar. Again he says, Sri Rupa Sri Sanatana Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jyogopal Pratadas Raghunath. And then he says, Echhai Guruva Karon Charana Vandan Yahaite Vignanash Abhishtapuran. By offering obeisances to the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, what happens? All obstacles, vignanash, all obstacles on the path of devotional service are removed, and one's devotional desires are fulfilled. So in order to remove obstacles on the path of our devotional service and fulfill our devotional desires, we should take shelter of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And Prabhupada gives a very profound purport here also. He says, if a devotee seeks shelter of the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, the merciful Goswamis will certainly give the Lord's servitor all protection. It is not astonishing that impediments are placed before those who are spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Now, of course, you know, when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is speaking about Vigna here, he is speaking about Vignas because he is approaching old age and is finding it difficult to write the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he is wanting the Goswamis to remove the obstacle of old age so that he can proceed with his devotional service. So impediments could be both internal and external. So whatever the impediments might be, internal or external, those will be eliminated if one takes shelter of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. That's what Prabhupada is telling in his purport. He's saying that it is not astonishing that impediments are placed before those who are spreading the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Nevertheless, if we stick to the lotus feet of the six Goswamis and pray for their mercy, all impediments will be annihilated and the transcendental devotional desire to serve the Supreme Lord will be fulfilled. So yes, so it's a wonderful opportunity whenever there is the appearance and disappearance of any acharya for that matter, and also the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So it is a disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami. This is going to come the day after tomorrow. It's a wonderful opportunity to pray to them so that all impediments, external and internal, on the path of devotional service will be removed and our devotional desires will be fulfilled. So speaking of Sanatana Goswami, he has got a very intimate connection with Braj Bhumi. He was considered to be the guru of all the Vrajavasis at that time. And very interestingly, in that particular area of Vrindavan, right here all over India, this particular occasion is called Guru Purnima or Vyas Purnima also. But in the area of Vrindavan, it is called Mudiya Purnima. And Mudiya Purnima comes from the word Mundan. Mundan means shaving one's head. So why is it called Mudiya Purnima? Because it's the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami was well known amongst the Vrajavasis as Mudiya Baba. So generally, because most saints, sages, and you know, the Babas of Vrindavan, generally they had long beard and long hair, things like that. And when Sanatana Goswami started residing in Vrindavan, there were no Gaudiya Vaishnavas there. That means there are no followers of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that particular point of time. So most of the Babas, the sages residing in that particular area in Braj Bhumi, they usually had long hair and long beard. But this particular Baba was cleanly shaven. You know, both his face was shaven and his head was also shaven. So he came to be known as Mudiya Baba. And he had a very deep connection with all the Brajavasis. He was the go-to person for the Brajavasis, for not just spiritual subject matters, but also for mundane topics. Like if there was any conflict or any issues regarding agriculture or day-to-day affairs, any mundane affairs of day-to-day life, Sanatana Goswami always had an answer for them. Because Sanatana Goswami, he had this background, because he was earlier the Prime Minister of Bengal. And because he was the Prime Minister of Bengal, and that's the reason, he was expert, not just in spiritual subject matters, but even in material affairs. And all the Brajavasis used to approach him. And Sanatana Goswami used to also speak with them in such a way that he became very close to them. He used to ask them about their day-to-day affairs. How are your children doing? How is your daughter doing? Has your daughter got married? And all these things. And the way he resolved conflicts was also very unique, in the sense that in most cases, if we try to mediate in any conflict, most of the time we end up upsetting both parties. Neither party is satisfied with our mediation. So generally people don't get into conflict resolution. But even if you are able to satisfy one party, at least one party will be dissatisfied. That is most likely to happen. But it's one of the characteristics of the great souls that when they mediate, when they become the mediators in any conflict resolution, both parties are happy with the decision that is taken. Both feel that this person loves me and I have been favored by this particular decision. The classical example is how Vamandev resolved the dispute between Bali Maharaj and Indra. Indra felt that, you know, Vamandev had incarnated for him, and he got back the heavenly kingdom which was taken away from him, and he happily returned to the heavens. And Bali Maharaj was also very happy with the decision, because he got the perfection of devotional service through Atma Nivedanam by surrendering his entire being at the lotus feet of Vamandev. So the Supreme Lord and his devotees have this, because of their purity, they have this unique ability of pleasing everybody, pleasing even opposing parties. Dhira dhira janat priyo priya karo. It is being explained about the six Goswamis of Vrindavan that they were dear both to the gentle and the ruffians. That was their characteristic, and that was because of their purity. And it is described that Sanatana Goswami used to extensively travel all across Brajbhumi, visiting all the Brajavasis, and he used to travel around 160 kilometers every day, it is said. That's quite inconceivable, 160 kilometers every day. And his stature, it is described, as was hardly 5 to 5.5 feet. And he used to perform Govardhan Parikrama every single day. And in old age, Lord Sri Krishna himself appeared and he said that, now I have grown very old. And he gave his own lotus feet imprinted on a small Govardhan Shila and told Sanatana Goswami to do Parikrama of that particular Govardhan Shila. How many times? 4 times. And that would be equivalent to doing the entire Govardhan Parikrama. And some say that that Govardhan Shila is in the Radha Damodar temple in Vrindavan. Some others say that that Shila is currently situated in the Radha Damodar temple in Jaipur. Whatever the case might be, the original Shila was with Sanatana Goswami. So he was doing Govardhan Parikrama every day. Even in his old age, by doing parikrama of that small shila given to him by Lord Shri Krishna with the imprints of his lotus feet. So, one particular day, Sanatana Goswami didn't show up. All the six Goswamis used to come together for, discussing Krishna Katha. And one day when Sanatana Goswami didn't come, so the other Goswamis went to see why he didn't come, and they found that he had entered the eternal pastimes of the Lord and his body was at Chakleshwar Mahadev. Chakleshwar Mahadev on the banks of Manasi Ganga. That's where Sanatana Goswami had his residence during the later part of his life. So then the news spread like wildfire that Sanatana Goswami has left this world across Brajbhumi. And Brajvasis from all the 12 forests of Vrindavan, they came there because they consider all of them consider Sanatana Goswami, Mudiya Baba, to be their guru. And first of all, when they heard that he had passed away from this world on the bank of the Manasi Ganga, most of them, they did Mundan themselves. And then Sanatana Goswami's transcendental body was taken on Govardhan Parikrama. All the Brajavasis themselves did Govardhan Parikrama with the body of Sanatana Goswami. And till date, maximum Brajavasis, the most crowded Govardhan Parikrama of the entire year is on Guru Purnima or Mudiya Purnima. That is the disappearance of Sanatana Goswami in honor of Sanatana Goswami. Correct. So even today, Sanatana Goswami is remembered. And even now, if you ask the Brajavasis, why is it that you do Govardhan Parikrama on this particular day? They will say that this is the day when Mudiya Baba passed away from this world. It's very interesting. Because to be remembered after, even after 500 years, is something which is astonishing and remarkable in this world. Because it's very difficult to remember, even big politicians. Like if I ask, was the Chief Minister of Maharashtra, say 15 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 25 years ago. And it's very difficult to say. Chief Minister is a very high post. But still, it's very difficult to remember who occupied that post even 15 years ago, or 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago for that matter, if it's a state with a very unstable politics going on there. For example, Tamil Nadu, who was the Chief Minister there 10 years ago, 15 years ago, nobody will know it because it's like, musical chair. It's like one party comes and another party comes and third party comes, like that. So it's very difficult to remember who exactly was the Prime Minister at one particular point of time. So, but to remember even after 500 years, because Sanatana Goswami's entire focus was about giving. It was in the attitude of service. So those who are givers, especially from a spiritual perspective, they are remembered for a long period of time. And people who are takers, and that's what modern politics is all about. Most politicians are least bothered about what they can give to society. They are bothered about what they can take from society. So takers are forgotten, but givers are remembered for a very long period of time. So, so Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, they are brothers. And both of them, they were born in East Bengal. And they were transcendentals. They were transcendental. Even before they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are eternal associates of the Lord who are directly descended from the spiritual world. So there's a beautiful story that when Sanatana Goswami was young, in his younger years, one day he had a dream that a small Brahmana boy, he had come and gifted him a copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then when he woke up, he realized that it was just a dream, because he was feeling so engladdened that he had got a copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because during those days, to get a copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam was extremely rare. Generally, the scriptures were kept in the temples, and people who wanted a copy of the scriptures had to go to those temples and had to, you know, get it copied. And the original used to stay in the temple, and the copied they could carry to their homes. So to copy 18,000 verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam and to get it was a tedious task. So to get a copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam was very rare during those days. And so Sanatana Goswami was extremely happy that he had got a copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But as it turned out, it was a dream. But then astonishingly, as the day progressed, the same Brahmana boy who had come in his dream came for real and gifted him the copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it was like miraculous. The same boy who had come in the dream had come in real. And it was a very special occasion. And Sanatana Goswami really dove deep into the Bhagavatam, and he has even given a commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is the commentary of the Srimad Bhagavatam given by Sanatana Goswami called? Come again? No, I'm not sure. So, some say this particular Brahmana boy who had come to gift Sanatana Goswami the copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam was Lord Shri Krishna himself. Krishna himself came and gifted the copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they were brothers. So as they were growing up, their names were different at that particular point of time. They are coming from Sarasvat Brahmana families. And as they grew, they were extremely brilliant and very intelligent. And so, during those days, this was 500 years ago approximately. Bengal was under Islamic rule, Muslim rule. And the ruler of Bengal was Nawab Hussain Shah. And during those times, the rulers, even though they were Muslims, they used to have their subordinates as Hindus. Why? Because even they knew that other Muslims could be untrustworthy, in the sense it was very common, treachery was very common. So just to be sure that they wouldn't be dethroned by their own subordinates, they would prefer to have Hindu subordinates. So they would be scouting for suitable people to occupy important positions. And then Nawab Hussain Shah found out that these two brothers are extremely intelligent. They are good administrators also. So let me recruit them, he thought. But they were least interested about the two brothers. They were least bothered about making money, gaining position or anything like that, because they were interested in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in devotional service of the Supreme Lord. So they rejected the proposal straight away. So then Nawab Hussain Shah threatened them. If you don't accept my proposal, then I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to kill all the Brahmanas in Bengal, and I'm going to destroy all the temples of Bengal also. So when they were threatened like this, reluctantly, they accepted the position which was being offered to them. And Sanatana Goswami, Nawab Hussain Shah gave him the name Sakar Mallik. And Rupa Goswami was given the name Dabir Khas. So Sakar Mallik was made the Prime Minister of Bengal. And Rupa Goswami, which is Dabir Khas, was made the Finance Minister of Bengal. Very high positions. But even though they were involved in worldly affairs, even though they were thickly involved with politics, nonetheless, they never let go of their devotional principles. So even today, if you go to Ramakeli, during those days, in a lecture given by Kadam Kanan Maharaj, I was hearing that Gowda was the capital where all political affairs used to take place. And Sakar Malik and Davir Kas had their residence at Ramakeli. And every day they used to ferry between the two places. And they used to be carried on palanquins every single day with all. Because they were holding very high positions in the government. So even today if you go to Ramakeli, you will see all those ruins. And especially you will see the Gupta Vrindavan, which was created by the Bir Kas and Sakar Malik. And in this particular Gupta Vrindavan, they made a temple. Gupta Vrindavan means secret Vrindavan, a Vrindavan away from Vrindavan. Because physically they couldn't visit Vrindavan, so they created a replica of Vrindavan. So they could be always in Vrindavan, their heart could be in Vrindavan, even though their physical body was away from Vrindavan. So within that Gupta Vrindavan, they made a beautiful temple of Radha Madan Mohan. And they created Radha Kund, Sham Kund, Lalita Kund, Vishaka Kund. And they used to invite Brahmanas, approximately 5 to 10 Brahmanas every single day. And amongst them, they used to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. So they were always Krishna conscious. It's very interesting because at this particular point of time, they had already made within Gupta Vrindavan, Radha Kund, Sham Kund and all. But for the external world, Radha Kund and Sham Kund was discovered much later by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the actual discovery of Sham Kund and Radha Kund in Vrindavan by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened much later. But before that only Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, while they were serving under Nawab Hussain Shah, they had created Radha Kund and Sham Kund within Gupta Vrindavan. So naturally they are eternal associates of the Lord. And Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari, and Sanatana Goswami Lavanga Manjari, and they are eternal associates serving the Lord in the spiritual world, the divine couple. So later, their first meeting with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu happened in Ramakeli. It is said that when Sanatana Goswami was doing his studies under Vidya Vachaspati, he heard about the birth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. And he wanted to go and take darshan of him, but the opportunity never arose. But ever since then, the two brothers always wanted to go and have darshan, have an audience of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were writing letters to him constantly. So Mahaprabhu said that, he replied to one of those letters which conveyed to them that I will give you my audience in due course of time. And Mahaprabhu, his actual purpose, he left Jagannath Puri to visit Vrindavan. His actual purpose was actually in the first attempt to go to Vrindavan, his actual purpose was to meet Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. So he came to Ramakeli, and because both of them were very high ministers in the government, which was headed by Nawab Hussain Shah, it wouldn't be possible for them to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during broad daylight. So in the middle of the night, both of them, the Davir Kas and Sakar Malik, they came to where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had put up his camp during his stay at Ramakeli. And it's transcendental. Mahaprabhu also knew that my eternal associates are going to come and meet me. So even in the middle of the night, Mahaprabhu was awake. And he had kept even Nityan Prabhu and Haridas Thakur also awake. All of them were awake. I don't know whether they slept at all or not, but they were awake. All three of them were awake. And when the Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik came, it was Haridas Thakur and Nityanand Prabhu who came, who went forth ahead to receive them. And Acharyas explained that this is very significant, because Nityanand Prabhu, he represents Guru Tattva, and Haridas Thakur is Namacharya. So without the mercy of the holy names and without the mercy of the Guru and the Vaishnavas, it is not possible to approach Krishna. So even Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami went by the standard protocol. So first, through Nityanand Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, they approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu immediately initiated them and gave them the names Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And a lot is being written about this first meeting between Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, wherein the brothers express their deepest humility to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and request His mercy upon them. And Mahaprabhu goes to the extent of saying that, "Stop being so humble, your humility is breaking my heart." And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eventually gives them the task of going to Vrindavan and reviving the lost holy places of Vrindavan, writing transcendental literatures which establishes bhakti as the highest principle, setting the standard of standard Vaishnava behavior, writing literatures on Vaishnava behavior, and also to set standards for deity worship. So these were the different tasks given to the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They were deputed to this particular task. So Sanatana Goswami, he established the temple of Radha Madan Mohan. So initially he was searching for the deity of Radha Madan Mohan, Madan Mohanji's Vigraha, and he found the deity of Madan Mohan, but there was no temple. So he was worshipping the deity of Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan's deity is a huge deity. So he hung the deity on a tree, and that's how he was worshipping him, taking care of him, because there was no temple. And every single day, and the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they had such an intimate relationship with Sri Krishna that Krishna used to actually converse with them. So Sanatana Goswami, he used to go about Brajbhumi doing Madhukari, and all he used to ask for was some atta. And he used to take this atta, mix it with water, throw it into fire. And when he used to get it, when it used to get cooked, it's called bati. And that bati he used to offer it to Radha Madan Mohan, and then honor that prasad himself also. So naturally, when you make a ball of atta and you throw it into fire, you can't immediately remove it. If you remove it immediately, I don't really know how modern day batis are made. They're quite sophisticated. But traditionally, when these batis were made, it wasn't just sufficient that the outer crust got cooked. Because if only the outer crust got cooked, the inner crust would still be uncooked. And that wouldn't be right. So they, in spite of the outer crust getting cooked, the ball of atta had to remain in fire for a considerable period of time, so that even the innermost core used to get cooked. So by the time the innermost core got cooked, the outer crust would be like it would be black, it would be charcoal, practically speaking. So it was a ball of charcoal, so to speak, that Sanatan Goswami used to offer Madan Mohanji. So one devotee was telling that Lord Shiva, he wears ashes all over his body. Correct? But Sri Krishna went a step further and he ate ashes, which was offered by Sanatana Goswami. That is, that's to the extent to which Lord Sri Krishna is Bhaktavatsala. That's the extent to which he loves his devotees. He is ready to accept even burnt charcoal. He will happily accept even burnt charcoal when it is offered with love by his devotees. So one day, reluctantly, you know, Madan Mohan, he tells Sanatana Goswami, "You are offering me this bhati every single day. At least give me some salt along with it." And Sanatana Goswami said, "Today you are asking for salt, tomorrow you will ask for vegetable, day after tomorrow I don't know what you are going to ask for. See, I am a simple Baba, I can't offer you more than this." But then as it turned out, a ship came by the Yamuna and then it got stuck. And then the captain didn't know how to get the ship out. And then he asked the Vrijvasis how to get the ship out of the muck. And the Vrijvasis, they knew that whenever there was a problem, whether it be spiritual or material, go to Sanatana Goswami. He is the go-to man. So they said that whenever we have problems, you go to this Baba, Mudiya Baba. So you also go to Mudiya Baba. So he came to Sanatana Goswami, who at that particular point of time was residing on Dwadash Aditya Til. So Sanatana Goswami gave him direction that you pray to Madan Mohan and he'll solve all your problems. And he prayed to, his name was Sam Kapoor, right? Yes, Satyantru. Full name? Krishnadas Kapoor. Okay. Alright. There are differences of opinion there. So Mr. Kapoor. So Mr. Kapoor, so he was carrying salt on that ship. So Madan Mohan's desires was fulfilled to have some salt. At the same time, Mr. Kapoor was a rich man. So after he made some money, He built the Radha Madan Mohan temple also. And then Sanatana Goswami went on to write so many beautiful literatures about Sambandha Gyan. He is the Sambandha Acharya of our Sampradaya. And Sambandha Gyan is that Gyan which increases our attraction to Lord Shri Krishna. Correct. Because we are all in this material world because we are attracted to the things of this world. Everything that this material world has to offer, we are attracted to that. And unless we get attracted to Krishna, there is no question of getting out of this material world. So the literatures which Sanatana Goswami produced were for the purpose of attracting our mind towards Lord Shri Krishna. Sambandha Gyan. So, Brad Bhagavatamrat, he wrote, right? And for example, in that Brad Bhagavatamrat, there is a story of Gopakumar and how Gopakumar meets Krishna for the first time in the spiritual world, and that meeting is so touching, how Sanatana Goswami describes it. It really touches the heart. We know somebody is, Krishna himself is waiting for us and is going to personally receive us in the spiritual world. When we go there, every one of us, and that attracts us towards Sri Krishna, that he's so kind, he's so merciful. And even I see so many devotees, they have got their DP on WhatsApp with that particular painting of Gop Kumar embracing Lord Shri Krishna. It can be seen everywhere. Many people, it's their favorite wallpaper, it's their favorite DP. It's a favorite photograph, it's a favorite painting of a lot of devotees, even though the Leela itself is very, it's not so well known. But the Leela is so touching, and it actually establishes, it kind of attracts us towards Shri Krishna and increases our love towards Shri Krishna. So that is Sanatana Goswami's, that was Sanatana Goswami's task to write such literature. Sambandha Gyan he provided, and all literatures which enhanced Sambandha Gyan. So there are so many pastimes connected with Srila Sanatana Goswami. It's already 9:15. So, I would just like to end with one particular pastime. See, this is very special pastime. So, I'll just take 5 minutes. Generally, I finish before time. So, recently, we brahmacharis, we had gone on a retreat to Gordanku village, and there Radhishyam Prabhu, he made a very interesting point. He said that, he was speaking about the relationship between Krishna and his devotees. And he spoke about so many things. And one of the things that he said is, the devotees don't mind being used by Krishna. Right. This is very interesting, because to be used, nobody likes to be used, right? We speak about this very often, that we use things and we love people. And in the modern day world, most often, people end up loving things and using people. And that's why people get, we get put off. At office many a times, we get used. Nobody likes to be used like a thing. Use and dispose. Use and throw kind of a thing. If you use somebody, then you throw that person. After the use is done, you throw that person. And that's what is happening in the corporate world out there. There is no concept of loyalty any longer. Right? This is a new concept. Fire and fire. And even the employees also, they least care. In the middle of the project, they resign. Correct? There is no concept of loyalty from either end. So there is this concept of use and throw. And that puts us off, but then we have to blend in. So we reluctantly follow the same path in the modern day world. But to be used, that's very harsh. And oftentimes we turn to spiritual life because we don't want to be used. But the pure devotees of the Lord, they got so much trust and faith in Krishna's unlimited love that even though sometimes they're apparently used by Lord Shri Krishna, they don't mind it. They take it in their stride. It's fine. I'm being used by Shri Krishna. The classic example comes in the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Lord Shiva is used by Lord Shri Krishna. Right? When Krishna takes the form of Mohini Murti, Lord Shiva is bewildered. He is confused. And he runs after Mohini Murti, and all the sages are witnessing it. That Lord Shiva, their favorite deity, is running behind a woman. And ultimately when Lord Shiva comes to his senses, he realizes, oh my God, what happened? But then he is neither ashamed nor is he agitated. He doesn't get angry on Krishna that what Krishna, what did you do? I lost my reputation. You have used me to convey a lesson to the entire world that lust is such a powerful force that even Lord Shiva can get bewildered. This is a lesson that Krishna wanted to convey through Lord Shiva to the entire world. And it was done in such a graphic way. But Lord Shiva wasn't ashamed. He felt proud that Krishna is so powerful that even I got bewildered. So normally, if you should get angry, how dare you use me as an instrument to convey this lesson? You could have used any devotee out there. Why did you use me? But the characteristics of the great devotees of the Lord is, they don't mind being used by Krishna, because they know that Krishna is using them for a higher reason, for a higher purpose. So similarly, in the life of Sanatana Goswami, this particular story comes, wherein he is coming to visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu had invited him to visit him in Jagannath Puri. And when Sanatana Goswami was coming from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri, he was passing through the Jharikhanda forest, and he drank some contaminated water, through which he caught a very infectious disease. Not an infectious disease, but a chronic disease, incurable disease, by which he had sores all over his body, and sores which through which blood and pus oozed out. Very dirty disease. And Sanatana Goswami, and it was such a dirty disease, Sanatana Goswami thought, you know, first of all, I can't see Lord Jagannath, because he had worked under the Muslim government. So according to the traditions, he wasn't allowed to enter the temple of Jagannath. I can't see Jagannath. And with this kind of body, I can't go near Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. And I can't render any service. So he felt hopeless, he felt helpless, and he thought, and he felt so hopeless and so helpless to such an extent. Now, he is an acharya, he is a guru, he is at a transcendental level. So, the obstacle, the impediment that he was facing was to such an extent that even he thought of committing suicide. He thought that during Ratyatra, I will jump in front of the cart of Lord Jagannath, and in this way I'll give up my body, and in this way I'll meet an auspicious end. So Mahaprabhu, he can read everyone's mind, he is a super soul within everyone's heart. So as soon as he detected that this is what is going on in Sanatana Goswami's mind, he told Sanatana Goswami that your body belongs to me. So how can you destroy someone else's property? Because your body has become my property, because you have surrendered to me. And if by committing suicide, if you can attain Krishna, I would have committed suicide millions of times. The process of attaining Krishna is through devotional service, specifically through Nama Sankirtan, not through committing suicide. But the point here is, through Sanatana Goswami, he had taught a lesson for all time to come, that it is all right. It happens that sometimes you feel hopeless, sometimes you feel helpless, sometimes you feel that I am of no service to Lord Shri Krishna. Isn't it so beautiful? Like, it's such an often quoted example. You know, I heard Radhanath Swami Maharaj quote this in lectures. Incidentally, in one of the Jagannath Puri Yatras, he was telling this story. And he asked the audience in front of him, have you ever felt, if anybody has ever felt hopeless and helpless like Sanatana Goswami felt, please raise your hands. And almost everybody in the audience raised their hands, and even he raised his hand. So it is normal on the path of devotional service. And through the example of Sanatana Goswami, we understand that if Sanatana Goswami went through it, we going through it is all right. So this too will pass, and Krishna has put me through this obstacle, and he'll get me out of this obstacle also, and he'll give me opportunity for performing devotional service also in due course of time. So even though Sanatana Goswami became hopeless in this pastime itself is such a hope-giving pastime. And Sanatana Goswami was willing to be an instrument to give this hope-giving pastime to the entire world for all time to come at his own cost. And that's the greatness of these acharyas, of these great devotees of the Lord. But they don't mind being used by Krishna. Of course, that's a very high level of realization. So thank you very much. I'm sorry for going way beyond my time. Hare Krishna. Rudra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai.